honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special Memorial Day edition of the program. Make Memorial Day count this year. If you don't know a Gold Star family, find one and make sure they know how much you appreciate their sacrifice. We've been hearing from Jeff O'Kane about the mission to learn more about his great uncle who was killed in World War II and Jeff's aspirations to maybe someday bring his uncle's remains home. He mentioned that connecting with another man from his uncle's final mission helped unlock many of the mysteries that had lingered for decades. That man is Vic Walters, who shared his story last week on Hometown Heroes. You can link to that complete interview at hometownheroesradio.com, but I want you to hear about 5 minutes worth from Vic right now, what he remembered about that fateful day, June 1st, 1945.
On June 1st, 1945, the day before, I was a plane captain. I was a second-class aviation machinist mate, and I wasn't the most senior. We had a radioman who was a first class. But anyway, at 3:30 in the afternoon, they came up and told me, said, "Hey, tell your crew to try to get some sleep because you're going to take off at midnight. And you're going to Singapore, and the other plane is going to Singapore with you. And you'll meet up over Singapore at daybreak in the morning, and he's going to take pictures of all the Japanese planes and so forth."
This is a reconnaissance mission?
Sort of, yeah. He was going to take pictures of all the planes around Singapore. So we go up the coast, maybe 15 miles or so, and there's a whole bunch of planes taking off. I remember there's four of them taking off side by side. And, you know, maybe we're doing 200 miles an hour. All of a sudden, one of them goes zoom, just like that. I could see him going up ahead of us. And he went up ahead of us. And then he turned around and came back. And when he came back, he was firing. Now, I remember he was firing out of his left wing and his right wing, and firing at us. And I thought, you know, we've got more guns than he does. We're going to shoot him down. But I was wrong, because he came right in between the two of us, and he hit the other plane in the number three engine. And boy, right away, the plane's on fire. But anyway, after a while, they shut the engine off, so effectively he's flying on one and two engine, and number three's completely out, and number four, every time they turned the engine on, it caught fire. The plane was going steadily down all the time, and we stayed with him.
Which is dangerous, because you're making yourselves vulnerable too.
Yeah.
To stay with that crippled B-24, but you're giving them some protection?
Sort of, yeah. And then this plane, the Japanese, what they would do is they would come in from the port side and attack below. They'd come up from below and then shoot you down. And they had two planes, two guns shooting at you, and you'd only have one shooting at them. So the guy's coming in at me, and I could see that he was coming in. So I had the plane. I was shooting a little bit high at him, so it ends up he's coming in from the left-hand side down below, and I'm shooting at him before he's shooting at me. So he's coming in, and I'm shooting kind of high, but eventually he wasn't shooting at me anymore, so I may have shot him down.
And the only reason you don't know whether or not you shot him down is all of a sudden that plane was gone.
Yes.
And you couldn't find it anywhere.
I didn't know.
So you couldn't confirm the shoot down because you couldn't see him on fire or going down.
No.
What happened to the other B-24 you guys have been flying with?
We're following him along. But see, he's flying on one and two engines, and he's going steadily down all the time. So finally, we get farther out, and I saw this other plane hit the water, and I told the pilot the other plane just hit the water upside down.
Those, of course, would be the final fateful moments for Buren O'Kane and 11 others aboard that aircraft. Let's return now to Buren's great-nephew, Jeff O'Kane.
Sounds like you're hopeful that within the next year there could be some significant developments.
Yeah, that's what I hoped last year, too.
Well, that's my question. How long are you going to keep at it?
To the day that I die. I'm never going to give up on this. It has to be completed. I think it's terrible that families like ours have to go to these great lengths to accomplish something like this. But if they want to fight, I'm going to bring it to them. This is going to be done, and I hope they can do it in the next couple of years. I don't want to be doing this for 10 years or 15 years, but if that's what it takes. I think about this every day. Mm. There's not a day that goes by that I can't escape it. I've got to find a way to make it happen.
Well, I was going to ask you about what Memorial Day is like for your family, but it kind of sounds like every day is Memorial Day for you.
It has been since 2018. It was incredible to find all this, but it's maddening, too, to know this much and then to not be able to do anything about it. And, I'm not a politician. I'm not an ambassador. I just want my uncle to come home. I want all the guys on the plane to come home. I think they deserve the effort of a search. And if they are able to locate that plane to make an effort to find the remains, there's 12 men aboard. And they've proven before they've been able to find remains that are DNA viable and be able to be checked back to the families. I mean, that's my hope and goal. If it can be found, recover the remains. Maybe they don't find my uncle. Maybe they find, one of the other family members. I'd be satisfied with that. It's just something that's unfinished in my family and it needs to be done.
And I just want to be clear on this so no one misunderstands. If you hadn't found those photos and figured out that island and where it was, nobody else would be trying to find this plane right now.
No, sir. Since 1947, they have been classified as lost at sea and recoverable. Not to knock DPAA, they've got a huge mission of trying to find these men. There was just nobody looking. So it was amazing the fact that we were able to find it. But that is one of the things that we were able to change. DPAA now has this crew listed as active pursuit. And so that was a very big thing that changed in 2019.
What's the biggest thing you've learned through this journey? The most important thing maybe that you've learned through this quest?
Never accept no for an answer. We've had some roadblocks, and I'm not going to go into them in great detail, but they were always approached with, that answer is not acceptable. And when people didn't want to hear me, we went above them. We went around them. We went to people higher up. We went to congressmen. We went to Congress. We wrote letters to everyone we could until people finally listened to what we had to say. Yeah, never accept no for an answer.
Have you ever wondered what Buren would think about all this?
I think he would be proud that 75 years after he died, that his family members continue to keep up the hope and to continue to push for his recovery. I think he would be proud. I hope that he would be. I think my grandfather, I wish he was alive to see this, because my grandfather would have loved this.
And I, master the obvious here, it appears you're pretty proud of Buren's legacy and your family's legacy of service.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My great-grandfather was in the Army in World War I. His four sons, Clyde and Buren, were World War II. And then my grandfather and great-uncle Don were in Korea. And then my uncle David O'Kane was in the Navy in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I never served myself, but my grandfather wasn't real big after he got out. There's some things that went on. He just kind of, really started to really push against joining the military.
Sure. Well, and if there's anything else you want to add about, what you've experienced and what you think may be relevant for others, feel free. But how should we remember Buren and the other 11 guys on that plane? How would you describe their significance or the significance of their sacrifice?
I don't know. They were like a lot of other, there were boys and young men that went over to fight a war to save the whole world. They're just like many. It's a story that's, you know, probably shared in a lot of families, the men that went over and did what they had to do to free the world.
Is there anything else I didn't ask you about that is important to you to share?
Being able to track down the gunners. That was something we found in our family searching for the 11 other families, that we were able to actually meet and speak with two of the gunners that were on Lieutenant Heiler's plane. In 2018, Victor Walters and Edward Saruba, who passed here recently in January of 2021. But to be able to meet these men in 2018 and film their stories and talk to them about this day, they were there. And it was really amazing to be able to meet them and hear their story firsthand.
If there's somebody out there listening who is saying, you know, maybe I will start to dig a little bit, what encouragement would you have for them? Why should they try?
Well, that's up to them. I mean, that's their personal thing. It's amazing to find what records are out there. I mean, you need to be able to read a lot. I've read thousands and thousands of pages. But knowing the history of other family members, I mean, that's a personal thing. It's very big in my family. His name's never been forgotten. His story has been passed on for multiple generations. And if it's something that's important to you and your family, the answers are out there. It's going to be a lot of work and a lot of reading and things like that. But if it's something that interests you, start with Fold 3 and start looking through that. If you can narrow things down, there are researchers that work in NARA, Maryland, that you can contact, and it's not cheap. There are some really good ones out there, and Westmoreland Research is who we used, and he was great. But you know, we already had the location of the files. We just needed him to scan them, and he did a unbelievable job of scanning these photos. And good luck.
One more thing. I saw that sticker over there on the fridge. Freedom is not free.
No. No, it was paid with a very heavy price and continues to be.
What do you think about when you see that slogan, that catchphrase?
Well, I instantly think of my uncle and the price our family paid and look at so many other families that paid the ultimate price. I'm just very thankful that people like that existed. They call them the greatest generation for a reason. They're just amazing people. And I'm very thankful for what they've done for this entire country and our freedom.
There is no better way to say it than that. Jeff O'Kane, hoping beyond hope to someday find his great uncle's plane and bring those heroes back home. If you'd like to follow the progress of that quest, Jeff has created a Facebook page through which he updates developments, and I have that linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. That's all the time we have on Hometown Heroes today, but thank you so much for listening, and thanks again to Jeff O'Kane for taking us inside his family's emotional journey. I'm Paul Leffler, and I'm going to say it again. May we never forget that on Memorial Day and every day, freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.